Welcome to another edition of the Wahoo Central Podcast, our weekly look inside UVA athletics. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and as the end of spring practice approaches, we're keeping the focus on football. My guest today is Kelly Papenga, who coaches the Cavaliers outside linebackers and also serves as special teams coordinator. Kelly, thanks for stopping by. Welcome to our humble U-Haul studio.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I hear you and Mark Atuaya stole the show last night at the VAF Social in D.C. What's it been like for you to get to know some of the UVA fan base that way?
Yeah, no, it's been good to really kind of get in an intimate setting like that and open up. You know, we open up, and they have pretty open, frank questions to ask us. And, I think we pride ourselves as a program to be transparent to our fan base, to our players, to, just to the community. And we want to make sure everybody knows what we're trying to do, how we're trying to do it. And we want everybody to be along for the ride as long as they're bought into how we're going to do it. And really, that's the message that we were preaching last night, is we want to do it, you know, the UVA way, and do it, with high character kids, high academics, and, ACC football players that can help us win an ACC championship. And so that was the message that we were sharing with those guys last night.
I think Coach Bennett was at that circle,
yeah,
too, right?
Yes,
that's kind of been his formula, too, the high character kids who fit in well, mm-hmm, at the school. So
yeah, it's been, and just hearing Craig Littlepage talk beforehand, and just talking about he wants to be the number one athletic department in the country. And, I think we're not far off. Football has to, we have to pull our weight in that. I think all the other sports are doing an exceptional job, and obviously basketball is probably the most highest profile sport that's done it, but all the other sports I think are right up there as well. Obviously winning national championships and all those other sports, and so we got ways to go football wise to make sure we're up with standards to what the athletic department wants here.
From a coach's perspective, how does this spring and this spring practice feel different from the first one?
Oh man, so much farther along. Just the main notice for me, besides even how far along we are with our scheme, has just been the energy. The guys have brought great energy to practice. Not that they didn't do that last year. I think there was a little bit of uncertainty, and they were a little scared, and they didn't know exactly how we coached, and we didn't really know them. And there was just that kind of uncertainty of how to react in certain situations and, in certain coaching points and things like that. And so now we're comfortable with them. We know how to coach them. They're comfortable with us, and they know how we work things in practice. And so I just think the energy in practice is so much better. They feel more comfortable. They're more confident. They're competing at a way higher level than what we were a year ago. And then when you just throw in schematically where we were last year at this time compared to now, I would say last year, even throughout the whole entire season, we maybe put in defensively 30-35% of our defense than what we were running at our previous place. And now in the spring ball practice 10, I'd say we're probably at the 75% mark. We're really close to getting everything installed that we want to run, that we feel like that works and that will work for these guys here. And I just think, we're on the right track. And I think the next step is becoming a physical football team. I think that's still a ways behind where we want to be as a program. And just to establish that physical mindset, that nasty, toughy mind, nasty. Tough mindset. That's kind of been the trademarks of Coach Mendenhall's teams, and we need to establish that here as well.
There's been a lot of full contact work this spring with live tackling. Mm-hmm. I know the players like that because they're actually playing football.
Yeah.
Does that make it easier for you to evaluate your players when you see them instead of just a drill or a thud?
Yeah,
you're seeing
exactly
them tackle.
Yeah, because you're, like you said, you're actually playing the game of football. You're taking the guy down to the ground. You're going to be able to see a guy finish. Sometimes when you're playing thud, what thud is typically, at contact, you hold the guy up, right? For people that don't know what that word means. But now we've not gone thud, shoot, more than three times. We've been tackled to the ground every single time, but I think three practices. And for the most part, not in every drill. Obviously,
right,
it's not like that the whole entire practice. But we, Man, I just think we've gotten a lot more out of just playing the game of football. Our guys need that. We're a young team. We're an inexperienced team. And the guys need to play the game, how it's supposed to be played, and not just, you know, wrap up and let the guy run. No, we got to take those guys to the ground. We got to see who can really make plays. And, you know, guys are rising, and we say it, they're earning their role for the fall 2017 by the way they've practiced so far. And some guys have stuck out, and I think there's been some guys that have been surprises that we didn't think, you know, maybe would be in that situation. But playing live football has helped them show what they can do.
Shane Hunter is your counterpart with the inside linebackers. When I had him on the show a couple weeks ago, I asked him about growing up in Idaho Falls, Idaho. You're from Evanston, Wyoming.
Yeah.
What's Evanston like for those of us who haven't been there?
Oh, man. Evanston, Wyoming. It is, you know, people out here probably don't know what sagebrush is, but it's sagebrush, open plains, really windy, really cold. Man, it will be lucky if it gets to 85 degrees during the summertime. Man, during the winter, it's really, really cold. But, you know, that, for me, I didn't know any better. You know, I'd love to hunt. I love to fish. I love to ski. I love to snowmobile. I love to do everything outside. And, you know, there's snow from probably early November, a lot of it, all the way until April. We got snow on the ground and a lot of it. And so, you know, we grew up to learn how to cope with the snow. And, you know, coming out here, really don't see much snow. And so when there's like a little skiff of snow on the ground and, you know, school gets canceled, it's a little surprise to me because we wouldn't cancel snow if there was 3 or 4 feet on the ground. So, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. But loved it. Loved it where I grew up and, you know, just the things that it taught me. And, you know, a lot of similarities in a way to here. It's kind of a smaller town. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot smaller than here, but you're out in the country and a very similar type of things that you do outdoors here, you can do in Wyoming. And, you know, I like the small town feel that Charlottesville has. It kind of reminds me back where I'm from.
You're the youngest of three brothers. You all played in the NFL. How much older are Brady and Casey than you? And you guys must have had some epic backyard brawls and football games and everything.
Yeah, no, so we grew up. My dad played at BYU, so we all grew up, obviously, BYU fans. And that was all of our, you know, our goal and our dream was kind of following.
How far is Evanston from Provo?
It's about 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we were kind of right on the Wyoming-Utah border. We went to as many home games as we could. And so that was kind of our dream to follow in the footsteps. My oldest brother, he played at Utah State and then played in the NFL. Casey, he was a tight end. And he's 4 years older than me. And then Brady played at BYU, was an all-conference player there, fourth-round pick to the Packers, played 8 years in the NFL. He's, you know, when people hear our name, they, you know, then hear the Papinga name, they think of him, Green Bay Packer linebacker. But he 2 years older than me and really successful career. And then I'm 2 years younger than him, and then, you know, played a BYU linebacker as well. And, yeah, growing up, I was the guy that, you know, really competitive with Casey and Brady. They're really competitive with each other, and I was kind of the guy that was always left out as a little brother. But any chance they had to, you know, beat up on me, they were going after me. And so I was, you know, I think I'm the tougher one of the bunch. I had to go through a little more adversity. And then just obviously growing up, I was the guy that, you know, had to fill in the shoes of the bigger brothers. And, you know, it was a great challenge for me, and you know, they set a great standard for me that I had to live up to, and you know, obviously paved my own trail as well. But great examples, and it's been fun to be able to follow my brother's careers, you know, and just you know, build my own as well.
And your dad was director of Parks and Recreation.
Oh yeah, So there's always the story of my dad would bring back the old equipment, you know, the old football equipment back to the house. We'd put them on, we'd go down in the basement, and we just have a Royal Rumble down there. And the next thing you know, we're putting holes in the wall. And my mom would come downstairs and flip out on my dad. And my dad's over there putting, you know, plaster in the walls to make sure that she didn't know that we were, you know, busting holes in the wall and all that. But it was a great job to have as a kid for my dad. That, you know, we were around sports all the time. We had a rec center in Evanston there that we were always going to. We had basically free access to go play basketball and swim and do whatever. And just really the development of us as athletes, a lot has contributed to my dad. He wasn't one of those, you know, pushy dads, but we were always at the rec center doing something. And so, you know, we all just grew up with a passion for sports. And, my parents just did a great great job of kind of putting us in the right direction, and we found out what our passions were, and then they helped us, follow those dreams that we had to play college football.
One of your brothers, as you mentioned, played at Utah State, the other at BYU. You actually went to both schools. Mm-hmm. You started at Utah State before finishing up at BYU. Did BYU not recruit you? Had to end up there.
Oh, I was ticked, man. BYU asked me to walk on, picked a couple other players over me, and so I had a couple scholarship offers, and I chose to go to Utah State. And 2 years into my career there, the head coach had gotten fired at Utah State, and the coach at BYU had gotten fired. And my Brady, the second brother, he was just finishing up his mm-hmm. career at BYU, and Bronco was the D coordinator. And he just told me, you got to play for Bronco Mendenhall wherever he goes. If he becomes the head coach here at BYU, if he becomes a D coordinator, you got to follow him and play for him. He's going to help you out in your career to become the best player that you can be. He's going to get help you reach your potential. And so, everything kind of just worked out to where Bronco became the head coach there, and I was one of the first guys that he brought into the program from the outside. And I had to sit out a year, which was really hard. I went from a starter being one of the leading tacklers on Utah State's defense, and now being a red shirt guy and being on the practice squad, the scout team defense, and kind of earning my stripes there at BYU. But then by my junior and then senior year, was had a great career there, and lived what these players are going mm-hmm. through, and kind of the same process, right? I got there right as Coach Mendenhall was taking over the program. In that first year was my redshirt year. We went 6-6, and that was the first time that BYU had gone to a bowl game in 3 years. And so I have gone through what these players have gone through, and just the building of a culture, the building of a program, and I know that this works, and I've lived it firsthand. As long as they believe and trust in the process, I know great things are going to happen here.
Let's talk about your position group. I believe, if I have them right, the outside linebackers, Malcolm Cook, Chris Peace, Eric Allen, Vladimir Paul, Reed Kellum, and Dre Bryant. Am I forgetting anybody?
I believe that's everybody.
I've written a couple stories about the medical hurdles that Malcolm has had to clear. It's got to be cool for you and gratifying to see him back on the field, isn't it?
Yeah, he's done a great job. He started slow. I think he was a little hesitant, a little worried about, some things that he had done in the past. And so I kind of pulled him aside and just said, listen, you got to let it rip. You can't worry about getting hurt. If you're going to, you can't play.
Right.
If you're always in the back of your mind thinking that you're going to hurt or something bad's going to happen, it's always going to be holding you back. You're never going to be able to become the best player that you can be. And so, man, really, since we had that conversation, I think Coach Hunter had pulled him aside and Coach Mendenhall had pulled him aside. All of us, independently of each other, really not knowing that we were all doing that. And I think he got the same message. And he found out really quick that he just needed to let it go and figure it out about everything. And ever since then, we're about 2 weeks into it, he's played really well. Had another great practice on Tuesday, and man, has really been a guy, I'd say, over the last four or five practices that has really stood out, and we need that guy on the field. We need him to stay healthy. We need him to get bigger. We need him to get stronger. We need him to stay fast, and if he can do that, he will be a guy that, man, we did not see a type of guy like Malcolm on our defense last year. He's very versatile. He can do a lot of stuff. He reminds me a lot of the guys that I coached at BYU that were really successful in this defense. And so, hopefully we can continue to help him improve and help him stay healthy and then get him on the field in 17 to help this defense and this team be successful.
He, in one sense, he's a veteran because he's a fourth year of college. On the other hand, he's played very little football. He did shadow Coach Mendenhall last season and the rest of the coaches, so I think he got a perspective on the defense that not every player has. How much do you think that will help him once he gets back up to speed?
It's been a major help for him, and he's even stated it to me how he knows how Coach Mendenhall calls games. He was the first guy to hear the words out of Coach Mendenhall's mouth of what call we wanted the game. Malcolm was the first guy to hear it, and he was the guy that signaled it into the defense. And so to be able to have that experience, I think, just helps him now kind of understand how Coach Mendenhall calls things. And man, he might be thinking ahead of time what the call is going to be made before Coach Mendenhall even calls him. I mean, he has 12 games of experience of that, which I think is invaluable and pretty unbelievable that he was able to do. I've never even heard of that before. And so I think it's an advantage for him, even though he hasn't played in the game in a long time. I think it's going to help him have a step forward in a lot of ways when we get into that first game. And then as the season goes, I think he's just going to get better and better. And that's what I saw from my guys last year with Chris Peace and Jordan Mack, as the season went on, right, they just got better and better and better. And by the end of the year, I thought Chris Peace was probably playing some of the best football on our team. And he got that injury in the Virginia Tech game. But just really anxious for Malcolm to continue to progress and get him healthy on the field for the William & Mary game and continue throughout the season.
Behind Malcolm and Chris Peace, you do not have a lot of experience, maybe no experience, mm-hmm, really, with Eric and Gladimir and those guys. What have you seen from them so far, and how do you get those guys up to speed so if you need to use them, they're ready?
Yeah, I think Eric got in the game a couple times early last year in the season, Glad as well, and they just weren't ready last year, physically, mentally. But, man, what I've seen from Eric is he makes plays. He's made a lot of plays, and with Glad, he really plays with a high motor and high effort, and probably more than anybody else on our defense, consistently with that motor and effort and finish to the ball. And so really pleased with the way that they've come along and just been really surprised with Eric. He's made a lot more plays than I thought he'd make. Needs to work on some pad level and physicality at the point of contact. But, man, just the playmaking that he's had, I've been really impressed with. And, I just say the competition in that room is always open. Everybody's had a chance to be a starter during spring ball because of what they've earned, maybe from a practice or previous practices. And so that's going to continue to rotate until somebody really can step up and say that they're the guy, which I think Malcolm has kind of taken a step forward in the last four or five practices and separated himself from those other two guys. But Chris was out with a hamstring, and Glad and Eric kind of went back and forth, and Glad had some really good days, and Eric had some really good days. But the only guy that I think has really proved himself to have a starting spot is Chris, and that's just based off of last season. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to give it to him. He's going to have to continue to earn it each and every day, which he has. He was back at practice yesterday and practiced great, but I'm really excited about the group I have, and then I'm really excited about the guys that are coming in, and Zane Zandier and Charles Snowden and Elliot Brown. I think they're really three really, really good players that bring a dynamic to our team, especially at outside backer, that we don't have, and that's length, and that was something that I really wanted to recruit was length, and we're bringing in a guy that's 6'7", a guy that's 6'6", and a guy that's almost 6'4". And so we got really good length. They're all really good athletes, and they're going to fit our scheme really well. And it's going to be great competition. Now, I don't know if any of them are going to be able to come in and play right away. That's going to be up to them of how fast they can learn and buy into the culture and buy into the system. But I know instantly they're going to bring athleticism into that room that in length that we've lacked, and anxious to see them compete for a spot and some playing time.
How much did Shane Hunter have to pay you to get Jordan Mack away from you and into the inside linebacker group?
I really want to see that.
Promising player.
Yeah, man, he made a lot of plays for us at Sam last year. But really, when it came down to it, we just looked at our defense and we thought, how can we get our best 11
four.
Guys?
Yeah.
Best 11 guys on the field, best four linebackers on the field. And when we looked at it, up to this point, those are the four best guys. Now, there's some guys in there that I think are in the mix of potentially fighting into that role of maybe being the top four linebackers. But as of right now, those four guys between Micah and Jordan and Chris and Malcolm, those are the four guys that have established themselves at the best four. Now, I think Eric, is there, and Glad's there, and I think Dom Shepard and Rob Schneider's coming on strong, and so there's some good depth there. And then you add in Matt Gamm, who's an inside backer that's coming in. Man, I'm really excited about the linebacker core that we're going to have in here. And they're big, tall, athletic. Matt Gamm, he's 6'3", athletic, can run, and physical. And so I think we're bringing in guys that are going to fit this culture. And then the guys that are here have bought into the culture. And so I just think we're going to continue to improve at the linebacker position. In a 3-4 defense, you have to have linebackers. You have to have great inside guys that can plug. And you got to have great outside guys that can set the edge and that can rush the passer. And so I think we're recruiting those guys, and I think we're developing guys that are in the program right now that can help us be successful in this defense.
Outside linebackers coach is not your only title. How much of your work day is devoted to special teams?
Oh, man, it's defense takes up a lot of time, but as soon as I have free time, my free time is all devoted to special teams. And so an hour and a half of it was devoted to it this morning. As soon as, our defensive meetings are done at 5, I'll typically stay here until I have, practice plan for tomorrow, which is probably an hour or two of that. And so I wouldn't say it's half. I wish it was. I wish I had about half and half, but it just doesn't work that way. But I have some help with one of our interns, Adam Shaker, that does a lot for us. And then a lot of the coaches, Coach Hunter's bought in. Coach Howell's been a special teams coordinator before. Marcus has been helping out a ton with the returners, and Coach Atawaya. And so I'd say those five guys, between myself, Coach Atawaya, Coach Hagans, Coach Hunter, and Coach Howell, we're all kind of the guys that are really, involved in the special teams, and those guys help me out a lot.
This is an unusual spring just because of the numbers at the kicking positions. You have one place kicker on the spring roster, Nash Griffin, and two punters, Nash and Lester Coleman, which means, I guess, if nothing else, those guys are getting a ton of reps this spring. How do you see those positions shaking up? I know you have a recruit coming in, Brian Delaney, who's very well regarded as a punter and a kicker. Have you been able to accomplish a lot on that front this spring, or will you have to kind of wait until summer camp?
Man, we've had a lot of reps with the punters. They've I think yesterday was their best day, which is good. Obviously, you always want the last day to be your best day, and they were really kicking the ball well yesterday, especially Lester. I think Lester's distanced himself from Nash, just in his consistency with hang time and with the net of the punt and the direction of the punt. He's done a great job. He's worked really hard. And Nash, who really was thrown in to be the place kicker, did an exceptional job yesterday. Kicked the ball really well. So I'm excited about that being, because that's kind of a surprise. I wasn't really expecting that. I was expecting Nash to just compete for the punting. But now I think we'll have, a couple walk-ons. We'll bring two walk-ons that are not in the program right now. I can't mention their names because they haven't gone through applications, but those two guys, which I think are really good options, with Brian being the scholarship, he's a dual guy. He can do it all. He can do the kicking, the punting, the kickoffs. And so I think we'll have four options at place kicking, and then three options when it comes to punting with Brian, Lester, Nash. And so I'm really anxious to get these guys here in the fall to start competing for those spots. And then I think we're really good at long snapper as well. We got Spaziani, who's done a great job in the spring and finished the season for us. And then Bernie, once he gets his wrist better, I think he'll be ready to roll. And then, which I think he'll be fine by the summer. And then Tommy Crist, who was a really good DN that's coming in for us, but he can long snap, really good long snapper as well. So we got three options there. So really excited about the guys that we have for special teams. And I think we have a really good group of players that are bought into the special teams as well. And we want our best guys on special teams as well. We believe that's how, we'll be the most successful on special teams, is when the best players on offense and defense are our starters on those teams.
There were a lot of positive things that come out of the return game last year, but Daniel Hamm on punts did well, and Joe Reed was that close a couple times to breaking one. And I know there are other options at kickoff return too. Do you feel pretty good about that group going into this year?
Oh yeah, I feel really comfortable with Daniel. I think he's really savvy back there. I think he's really disciplined in catching the ball. That was something that we really emphasized last year, is we did not want the ball to hit the ground. The one game that kind of got away from us and hurt us was the Georgia Tech game. But Daniel's learned from that, and he's really good at catching the ball back there. And the thing I love about him, he's not the fastest guy, but he will hit that thing downhill.
Hard, yeah.
And he's not going to dance around. He's going to hit it and go in one cut and take off. And, man, I thought he was a major weapon for us last year, establishing field position. And then Joe, man, what a surprise he was. And, very similar type of runner. He's not going to dance around. He's going to hit that thing straight downhill, and anxious to get him healthy. He's had a little ankle. He got on the very first day of practice here in spring. But just ready to get him back and get him Man, I think we ended up 19th in the country in kickoff return with Joe, and our guys blocking it up for him. But anxious to get him back, and I think in our return game, I just think all around with the options we have at punter, the options that we have at coming up place kicking, the returners that we have coming back, I think we have the makings for a really good special teams unit. Now we just got to replace an all ACC player in Conti, which I think we have great options to do that.
Yeah, I thought it was impressive with Joe last year. He had a really good average, but he didn't have, you know, anything outrageously long to kind of pad the average or skew it. He didn't have a 100-yard run, though. That would have been nice. So, I mean, he was in the mid-20s or whatever he was, and because he was kind of consistently hitting that mark. So, yeah, he was impressive.
Yeah, there was a couple times where, you know, Central Michigan, he was really close. The game that just kills me is the North Carolina game. We were
– Yeah, when he kind of stumbled.
Yeah, he stumbled on himself. But, man, there was a couple where he was just really, really close to breaking them. And he set some great field position last year for us, and just really excited for his improvements and for him to, you know, as a true freshman to come in and do that and now be able to have three more years with him. I think he's going to be something pretty special.
Well, good. Well, I know you got to get back over to the McHugh Center. I appreciate you stopping by for this interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
I will see you and your linebackers and kickers and returners at the spring game Saturday, April 29th at Scott Stadium. Weather permitting, this is shaping up to be a busy weekend for UVA athletics in Charlottesville. For schedules, news, and features, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.